Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
I think that John, the author of the book of John, is amazed as he considers Jesus, who he saw walking in Galilee and walking the streets of Jerusalem, that he had created all things and yet people didn't recognize him. Can you imagine? The creator of the universe, and they should have known him.
Could it be that God is speaking directly to you, showing himself to you in loving and merciful ways, and you don't recognize him? God doesn't force his way into anyone's life. He doesn't force anyone to follow him. He is loving and long-suffering and wants to know you and be your personal savior. Listen and find out more about this incredible relationship as we begin part two of our opening study out of John, titled Encountering Jesus. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary Tucson.
The Word that was with God in the beginning and who was God is actually Jesus. Now, I understand how difficult that is to comprehend. How is it that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can all three be God at the same time? I want to confess to you, I don't understand the Trinity. I need to confess to you, I don't understand God. I don't know how many pastors will actually admit to that. A lot of times it's like, well, ask me any question you want to ask me, and I'll tell you anything you want to know about God because I have him completely figured out. I want you to know, I don't have God figured out at all. And the Bible says God is beyond our finding out. Did you know that? You will never be able to understand God completely. It'll just never happen. It can't happen. God is just way too big. Now, I've confessed this lack of understanding about the Trinity. I believe it, but that I don't understand it for 25 years. And for 25 years, people have tried to help me understand it. They come up after services and they say, listen, God's like an egg. There's the shell, there's the yolk, there's the white. God's like a tree. There's branches, there's roots, there's leaves. God's like a cherry pie. You cut it in three pieces, it oozes back together, three in one. God's like a clover. God's like water. You have liquid, you have frozen, you have steam. And it goes on and on with all of the different analogies. But here's the problem. God's not an egg. God's not a cherry pie. God's not a tree. God's not a clover. God isn't any of those things. God is far more complex than anything that we can understand. But what we do know from what the Bible teaches us is that when Jesus began to walk upon this earth, the footprints were left by God in the flesh. I don't comprehend it. I don't understand it completely, but I believe it because that's what it says. Look at verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. Everything was created by Jesus. Colossians tells us that all things were made through him, for him, and by him, and in him all things consist. So when you go back to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, it was Jesus that created them. And we could even talk about creation here, and maybe we should talk about it a little bit. You know, evolution has for now 50, 60, 70 years. What is it? 1853, Origin of Species was written by Darwin, Darwinianism, talking about, you know, evolution. Do you know that all of the proofs for evolution have been disproven? Do you know that evolution is a theory that is in crisis? And now scientists are beginning to write their, they're finally beginning to be honest about those things. You know, like, you ever seen the skulls of all of the different progression of humans, where they start with like a monkey-like skull and then they go further and further and further until they get to a human skull? Do you know that all of that is just props? Do you know that the vast majority of those skulls is a piece of skull cap here and a piece of skull cap here that they put together and form what they believe that it's going to look like? But then they pull them up off Prothesalius man and Wukawakaladia man and Chakalaka Woodia man. And all of that doesn't exist. Do you know the columns, you know, the Jurassic period, the Cretaceous, you know, those different, do you know that that never exists anywhere on the earth? Do you know that our fossil record has a deafening scream that there's not one transitionary creature that has ever been found? Did you know that? There's not one transitionary creature. There's not one missing link that's ever been found. Do you know that scientists have been duped dozens, if not hundreds of times, by people faking fossils being found? Let me just give you one of them. Now, I think we could all agree that scientists are really, really smart, right? And even though I'm mocking them a little bit now, they are. You've got to be brilliant in order to be a scientist. We all understand that. That's why a lot of us aren't scientists, because we're not brilliant, okay? And yet scientists have been duped so many times. Let me tell you about one of them. There was a place in Piltdown, England, where they were digging, and these students decided to play a trick on the scientists that were there. So they took a human skull that they had and the jawbone of an orangutan. They filed the teeth of the orangutan. They put the human skull and the orangutan together, rubbed carbon paper on it to give it a look of age, and buried it in the dig where they were digging. Next few days, here's the scientists. Oh, look, it's the skull. It's an animal ape man, the Piltdown man, they called it. Now, these are the brightest minds around that have discovered this, okay? It's the human head, the jawbone of orangutan, but they now name it the Piltdown man. For 25 years, they were in textbooks that this, you know, missing link has been proven and seen until one day, a scientist, this wasn't a Christian scientist, by the way, a scientist just began to look at it. And he said, the skull looks a lot like a human skull. The jaw looks like an orangutan jaw. Then he looked closer and he noticed that there were file marks on the teeth. These scientists, these brilliant minds, never looked at the teeth to see that looks like he just ate something yesterday. There's fresh grind marks on you. There's fresh file marks on the teeth. And all of a sudden, it was exposed as the greatest hoax of all time, scientifically. Now, how could scientists that we would all agree are so brilliant, how could they be duped by that? Because they want so much for evolution to be proven. They have been grasping for so many years. But at that point, they'd been grasping for 100 years to find a missing link. And when something showed up, they presented it as such. Do you know that the National Geographic has declared the missing link 4 or 5 different times, only to have several of them be hoaxes and several of them just not be true? The latest missing link, did you hear this? Here recently, they declared that they found Ida, or Ida, and that Ida was the missing link. You know what Ida is? An 18-inch lemur with a tail. They found a bone that looks a lot like a human wrist bone, and so they said, well, by the way, they discovered Ida in like 1970, so they've had all these years to look at her. And all of a sudden, somebody goes, that's like a human bone. That must be our ancestor. And suddenly, they declare that they have found the missing link. But here's the problem. Let's just say it was true, and Ida was the missing link. Where are all the transitionary creatures that go from Ida to us? 18-inch monkey with a tail, human beings. Nothing in between, but their wrists look a lot like each other. You know what? I don't trust them. And I'll tell you why I don't trust them, because they want so desperately to find some kind of proof for evolution when there isn't any. Here's what they begun to do recently. They realize that we are far too complex to have evolved. They're beginning to admit this. You know, they say, the basic Darwinism says that natural selection has taken mutations that give an advantage, and then through natural selection and mutations, we have come to where we are today. In other words, you are one giant mutant. That's what you are. You might even be a teenage mutant. I don't know if you're a turtle or not, but according to evolution, you are one giant mutant that through natural selection have become better and better and better until you are where you are today. Well, now scientists are agreeing that they are in crisis and that we are too complex for that. There's not enough time for us to go from some salamander-like creature 4.5 billion years ago crawling out of the mud with a freckle on its head that turned into an eye, and to have our eyes be as complex as they are today. It might seem like a long time, but the lack of evidence in the fossil record, the lack of them being able to produce in laboratories anything that is like life. Do you know that hundreds and billions of dollars have been spent to try to create life? There's a bunch of Frankensteins out there trying to create life in a laboratory, and they can't do it. The reason they can't do it is because God breathed into Adam life. They even take the building blocks that are already there and can't make life. In other words, they take all the parts of a cell, put a cell together, it's just like Frankenstein, and then they zap it. Is it alive? Master, it's alive. Has it come to life? That's the kind of stuff that they're doing. They're never going to be able to do that, even with all of the billions of dollars spent. Do you remember the Miller experiment? 19, 1950, I think it was, Miller put together a bunch of what he claimed to be old atmosphere. It wasn't, but that's what he claimed that it was, with oxygen, or he left oxygen out, but nutrient and these different kinds of things and some mud and clay, and he kind of zapped it all, and an amino acid was the result. He created an amino acid. And then it was declared, I have, you know, found life because I created an amino acid. Couple of problems. Number one, an amino acid isn't alive. An amino acid is the building blocks of what eventually becomes a cell. So he didn't create anything that was alive. He created an amino acid. There were other problems with what he had created. But have you ever heard this joke? That after Miller did that experiment and declared, I have created life, and it was put in headlines, I have created life, that God said, well, that's pretty good. Next time, use your own dirt. So, in other words, he was able to take the elements of what we already had, apply some kind of energy to it, and come up with an amino acid, but he's not able to come up with all those elements that he had used. Listen, and this, here's where I was going with all of that, by the way. I got sidetracked. Imagine that. Life is so complex that scientists are now saying that there is a design. Even evolutionary scientists are saying there has to be a designer. You can't have what we have. The complexity of the human body. Doctors don't even understand the human body. If you don't believe that, go to the doctor sometime. Doc, what's wrong with me? I don't know. Try this. Try that don't work, we'll try this. If that don't work, we'll try that, right? I'm right about that. We're way too complex. So here's what they're saying now. The brightest minds in evolution today say we were seeded. What does that mean? We were seeded by aliens. There was a little green Martian, and I'm not even kidding about this, folks. It is true. The greatest minds, Richard Dawkins, who is considered to be one of the greatest minds in evolution, says, we were probably seeded here. A long time ago, some alien came, put the DNA here upon the earth, which then could have started the process to bring us to where we are today because things are so complicated. But here's the problems that Dawkins has with everybody else who believes in such a thing. Which, isn't that funny? They mock us for believing in God. Come on! You guys believe in God? What a joke you guys are. It was little green men that planted us here. It wasn't God. It's like, and they're serious when they say these things. They say it as if, yeah, we were planted by aliens. But here's my question. All you've done is push it off to another world. Where did the aliens come from? See, now you come back to another problem. And if you say, well, those aliens were seeded, well, where did those aliens come from? And you understand suddenly what the evolutionists are doing. They're giving themselves more time. Because 4.5 billion years that the Earth has been here, according to them, isn't enough time. So now they have to go from generation to generation. And they go back and back and back in order to give themselves enough time to be able to have evolution. Instead, how did we get here talking about all this evolution? Verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. It is Jesus that created all things. You are not a teenage mutant, or a middle-aged mutant, or an old mutant, or whatever. You were created with design. You were created by God, and it was Jesus who did that. Now, it goes on to say in verse 4, in him was life. And that life was the light of men. This word for life is the Greek word Zoe. It's the word for eternal life. There's two Greek words for life. One of them we get the word biological from. It just means you're breathing, blood's going through your body, you're alive. This word for life is eternal life. In other words, you don't really live until you meet Jesus. You can be alive, you're breathing, but you haven't really discovered what life is all about until you meet him. It goes on to say in verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Literally, the darkness can't defeat the light. We know who wins. Now, it says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness to the light that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness to the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Jesus is the one who gives true light to every man in the world. He was in the world was made through him, and the world didn't know him. I think that John, the author of the book of John, is amazed as he considers Jesus, who he saw walking in Galilee and walking the streets of Jerusalem, that he had created all things, and yet people didn't recognize him. Can you imagine? the creator of the universe, and they should have known him. He had even given them time by prophecy in the Old Testament when he would be there. They didn't recognize him. He came into his own, verse 11, and his own did not receive him. God created the nation of Israel to bring the Messiah into the world, and when he came, they didn't recognize him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Now, that's a great verse. To as many as receive him, he gives the right to become children of God. You have to open up and receive him. As I said earlier in the study, God won't force his way into your life. He's not going to make you become a Christian. You have to say to him, Lord, I want you. I want you in my life. Come into my life. And if you don't do that, God's not going to move in and save you. As many as receive him, he gives the power to become the children of God. Verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. You got to be born again. You ever heard somebody say, I'm a Christian, I'm just not a born-again Christian? You can't be that. There's no such thing. You're either a born-again Christian or you're not. You have to be born spiritually. You got to be born of the flesh, and then you got to be born of the Spirit. Otherwise, you will never find eternity. He goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, that's what we're going to discover about Jesus as we look at these different encounters. He was full of truth, and he was full of grace. I'm so glad that God's full of grace. God knows. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we were altogether lost in our sin, and so he brought grace. If God works on our behalf and it's not by grace, then we deserve it. But if we get what we deserve, we're in trouble. So it's got to be grace. He goes on to say, John bore witness of him and cried out saying, this is he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now this is John the Baptist's declaration that Jesus is God, because John is 6 months older than Jesus. So when John says he was before me, he's talking about Jesus being preexistent. Verse 16, and of the fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. One of the purposes for Jesus was to reveal God in the flesh to us so we would know what he's like. What is it that made Jesus happy? What is it that made Jesus angry? Are the things that make God angry, and are the things that makes God happy? Now listen, we talk about Jesus. We talk about God measuring the universe with the span of his hand. We talk about God being totally awesome. And the amazing thing is that God can be known and that you can know him. Even more amazing than that is that God wants to know you and God wants to know me. You know, when we think of people on the world, is there anybody that you'd ever like to know? Now, don't yell out a name. That's already been done today. Unfortunately. But is there anybody in the world that you would have liked to have known? You know, when I've asked people in the past, you ever do that? You ever play like card games when you're just bored out of your gourd? If you could be best friends with anybody in the world, who would it be? I've had people in the past say Michael Jordan. I would have loved to be best friends with Michael Jordan. People in the past have said Tiger Woods, but they don't say that anymore. I'm not quite sure what's going on there. But here's the thing. The creator of the universe wants to know you. Not only does he want to know you, he wants to forgive your sins. He came and he died on the cross to forgive your sins. He wants to walk with you. He wants to have a friendship with you, to be called God's friend. Isn't that amazing? Abraham was called a friend of God, that God wants to be your friend. It just blows me away that is the truth, but it is. And if you have never opened up and invited him into your life, then may today be the day that you would do it. And if somehow you have forgot the tremendous privilege it is for us as Christians to know him and walk with him, may God just use this service today to remind us what a privilege it is. That our God wants to know us and that he walks with us. And our futures are secure in his hands. We're not going to continue to mutate. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we are so thankful for the time that we're able to spend here in John. And when we think about Jesus and the one who walked the streets of Galilee and the one who walked the streets of Jerusalem, Lord, we often don't think of him as the creator of the universe, and yet he is. and that he wants to know us, that he went to the cross and suffered the shame, the pain that is there in order to walk with us and know us. And Lord, we pray that we would, well, just make a commitment to him afresh and anew. Lord, we do want to know you. We realize it's not about being religious. It's about a relationship with him. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed. For just a couple of minutes, I would like to talk to those of you that are here that have never given your life to Jesus. I won't keep you a long time. I'd like to ask that no one would leave early. We're almost done. We'll dismiss you here shortly. But if you are here and you've never invited him in, I said in the middle of my study that you have to open up the door of your heart to let him in. That Jesus will not go in unless you open up and receive him into your life. Now, there's a couple of things you've got to believe. Number one, you've got to believe that he died for your sins. All of us have a sin problem. God knows that. So he sent his son to die upon the cross, to suffer that brutal death so your sins could be forgiven. You also have to believe that he's alive, that he rose from the dead, and that he's here today, and he's knocking on the door of your heart. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me." If you're here today and you want to know him, you want to begin a relationship with him, maybe you are at the deepest and darkest moment of your life or what you perceive as being such. Maybe just like me, it's then that God has reached out and touched you and showed you how much he loves you, how much he really cares for you. If you want to give your life to him today, then I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Just lift your hand up. Lift your hand up now and lift it up high. I want to take time to go around the room and I want to acknowledge the hands that are raised. I'm going to start on the right-hand side, so be patient with me. God bless you back here by the post, sir, and God bless you there. Both of you guys, that's awesome. Right here, ma'am, by the aisle, God bless you. Young man here, that's awesome. And sir, right by the aisle, God bless you. That's great. Anyone else? Just lift your hand up now. Lift it up high. By raising your hand, you're saying, I want my sins forgiven and I want to know him. I want to walk with him. Scan the room one more time. Again, lift your hand up now. Lift it up high so I can see it. God bless you, ma'am, all the way back by the window there. God bless you here to the right, kind of near the front there, ma'am, and sir, back by the exit door. That's great. All the way in the back, I saw the little hand sticking up there. Yep, God bless you. And right next to that, God bless you, sir. That's awesome. Anyone else? Just lift your hand up now. God bless you, right back by the window. That's awesome. Out in the foyer, God bless you. All right. Right here in the middle, just off to my left, the second seat in there, ma'am, and both your hands in the back. God bless you guys. That's awesome. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down, and I would like everyone, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin has separated me from you, but I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus upon the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin, that I can live for you by the power of the resurrection in the name of Jesus. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope that Practical Christian Living helps you to live God's Word, that we might be doers and not just hearers. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, go to calvarytucson.com. where you'll find recordings from our weekday and weekend services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. You can donate simply and securely. Here's how. Log on to calvarytucson.com. Click on Donate, then select PCL Radio. Or you can mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85706. And when you donate $25 or more, we'll send you a copy of Pastor Daniel Fusco's book, Honestly. In it, Daniel reminds us that even when life gets messy and unpredictable, Jesus is still there, and Jesus is real. Thanks for supporting and listening to Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow. We pray that you come to know the grace and peace that can only come from Jesus, and that you would walk closer with Him every day.